Well, this morning, as we enter officially into the Advent season, I want to preach a message that God placed on my heart out of a book that I don't know whether many people have. I know that one of the pastors, one of my fellow pastors in the BCLUW Church Council has preached actually this actual scripture for Christmas, in this Christmas season. So I do know it's been done before. Not necessarily the same exact sermon, so we'll just see. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Not your typical book to start out with in Christmas. Usually you think of the Gospels because, after all, that's where Jesus is found. Or you think of one of the prophets because that's where the foretelling of Jesus is found. But Romans, why? Because that's where God pointed me. And because it tells about Jesus, and it tells about one thing that I want to emphasize today that God has been emphasizing all week with me as I've studied this scripture. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and our text verse will be verses 4 and 5. All right. I've been anchored to that pulpit too many weeks. I've got to get out. There it goes. All right, we're wired for sound. Romans 5, verse 1. The writer to the Romans, Paul, I believe, said, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." All right. What is being said here is the entire message to all Christians for all generations to be heard in five verses. We have been justified by faith. And we have peace with God, which we didn't have because we were at enmity with God. We were apart from God because of the sin we had in our hearts. But now we have peace with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now we have grace on our side. We don't just have faith on our side that we have in God and His ability to work on our behalf, but we have the fact that grace is now on our side and He is working on our behalf in grace, knowing that now all these sins that we had in our past, we can say, "God, take care of them," and because of grace, they are taken care of. And if we mess up again, we can say, "God, I'm sorry, I messed up. Take care of them again, please." And grace does it. But as Paul warns us, says, don't rely on grace being an excuse to just sin further, because, you know, that's something that we don't want to get into. But that's not the point here. We also have peace with God. We have peace with God, which means now no longer we're enemies. We're actually on the same side. We are brothers in arms, so to speak. We are on the same side. We are fellow patriots working for the same end. So then he goes on in verse 2 and says, "Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." What is that? In the hope of the glory of God. that one day, you know, all this other stuff will be the past. All this other stuff, this life that we're in now, even though we're in God's grace and we have been saved, even this life will one day pass. And we look forward to the hope of the glory of God. We look forward to the fact that we will one day be in heaven with Him, able to stand side by side with Him and Jesus and say, "Thank you." And He will be able to say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we look forward to. Then he says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Now this is where it starts to get a little bit hairy. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now this is where I want to start to build. This is where God started to talk to me a little bit more deeply. These are the three basic points, are perseverance, character, and hope. Perseverance. Now back in the first century church, perseverance was a fact. It wasn't just an option. It wasn't something that just happened occasionally. It was something that happened all the time. Paul is talking to a bunch of people who were persecuted all the time. It was something that had to happen. They had to persevere. They had to stand up under persecution. It was something that they needed to do. Otherwise, they would crumble under the pressure and no one else, no further generations would hear the message of God. They would no longer hear the message of the grace of God through Jesus Christ, because the church would be crushed under the weight of the Roman officials, under the weight of the Roman army, under the weight of Caesar, whatever, because they were being persecuted left and right. So Paul's speaking to them, but he's also speaking to us, because God's word transcends time. So what is he telling us here? Tribulations will happen in our life. Yes, they may not be as severe as what the first century church had to endure, but they may be. But they most likely won't be. They may be the simple things of, you know, somebody getting on your nerves and you having to stand up and be the better person. They may be as simple as, you know, having to deal with something that you don't have like to deal with every day. Or having to deal with traffic, which is not a big deal around here. I mean, we don't even have a stop sign in Union. I mean, a stoplight in Union, really. It's not even a stop sign as far as I know. Most people don't stop. It's just kind of a, okay. Nobody's coming from north or south. Or east or west, I mean. So, what is it that we need to persevere through? Tribulations. What kind of tribulations do we go through? Well, sometimes we have bad situations in our relationships. Sometimes we have bad situations because of different decisions we've made. We've made poor decisions and we have to deal with consequences. So what happens? We have to persevere through it. We have to learn from our mistakes and move forward. There's a book by John Maxwell on my desk that I've read, and I recommend it to you all. It's called Failing Forward. It's a book that talks about people who, you know, if they would have given up at the first sign of failure, would have never made it in life. One of them is Mary Kay Ash. Another one is the inventor of 409. Or not 409, WD-40, I'm sorry. Why is it called WD-40? Because the first 39 didn't work. Exactly. And WD stands for water displacer, or water displacement. So, it talks about a whole different slew of people and their lives, and how if they would have taken and not persevered, they would have never became the successes that they did become. And now I'm not trying to preach a success gospel or a God has great things out there for you and you're going to become rich if you just keep on persevering. No, but that may happen. I'm not saying that that's the exception to the rule, but it's not necessarily the rule. Some people may not. The fact of the matter is they didn't quit. When things got hard and people kept telling them to quit, they kept going. Why? Because they had a strong faith. Most of them in the book are people of strong faith and strong character because of that strong faith, because of that perseverance, building their character. And they had a hope, not only the hope of Christ, but the hope of one day becoming a success. And one day, not because of becoming a success would make them better, but because of one day their success would make other people have a better life because of what they were trying to do. And that's what I want to explain to you here, is this is what God's trying to tell us, is as we are brothers, sisters in arms with Him, since we are now at peace with God, what He wants us to do is persevere. Why? Because we have a message to get out. We have a message to get out, and if we don't persevere, if we don't keep going, when people laugh at us for saying, you know what, I'm a Christian, and we say, yeah, you can laugh at me, you know what, that's fine. You choose what you choose, I choose what I choose. That's the way life is. But I'm just telling you that if you ever have anything you need me to pray for, just let me know. And you know, 9 times out of 10, I think that that person, when they have something going on in their life that is terrible and bad and things are going wrong, they'll think of you. They may not call you and ask you to pray, but they'll think of you and what you said. Because you had the boldness to say, you know what, it's fine, but I'll pray for you if you ever need me to. Now that 1 time out of 10, they may call you. And then you may be able to develop a friendship, a bond. You know who brings people into the church? Not pastors. It's you. Studies show that more people are brought into the church by friendships built by the people in the pews, not by the pastor. Very rarely are people brought into the church by the pastor's friendships. Why? I don't know. It's just the way it is. There's more of you and less of me. There's more of you to make an impact out there than there are of me. And we're all supposed to be doing the same sort of thing in the community, aren't we? Spreading our faith. So, perseverance. And what's it say? It builds character. We've all gone through some terrible things in our life. Some of us gone through a lot more rough stuff and a lot more terrible things in our lives than others. And this isn't a game of, you know, who's gone through it worse and who's had worse things. I mean, some of us have gone through terrible losses. Some of us have gone through terrible times of, you know, financial stresses and financial problems. I mean, all of them are bad. The thing is, when you went through those things, what did you turn to? Or who did you turn away from? You have two choices to make in those situations. You can either turn to or turn away from the things you know. And God says, you know I'm here. And do you turn to me in these times, or do you turn away from me and blame me? Now, people without a strong faith may choose to turn away. That's why it's important that their faith gets grounded strongly and that they get encouraged by the body of believers when they do go through times of hard times. And that we're there to pray and support them and lift them up and, you know, come around them and lift them up and do whatever we can to help them out. Not so they become dependent upon us, but so they know that they have a support structure underneath them. Not when the first sign of problems or the first sign of whatever happens, all of a sudden they have nobody around them. And that happens too many times, and that's a lot of reasons why a lot of people leave the church and they say, you know what, they're a bunch of hypocrites. I had this going on in my life, and you know what, the first thing, nobody did anything. I was there, everybody knew about it, And I knew they knew about it because I heard them talking in the community about it. But nobody would talk to me in church about it. And what happened? I got mad and I left. And I blamed the church and I blamed God. Sure, things eventually got better, but you know what? I'll never step foot back into a church again. Not just that church, but any church. And that hurts. Because there are a lot of people bitter out there in the world today at Christianity because of the body of Christ not doing what we are supposed to do. Sure, it falls on all of us. And that's where the character comes in. Do we have the character to stand up and say, you know what? I see you're hurting, and I want to help you. When you know you don't want to embarrass the person. Well, you have to have tact. You have to have proper tact. You don't do it in a group of people and say, hey, you know what? I know you're having financial problems, and you know you got fired last week and everything. Well, things happen. No, you wait until you got a minute and say, hey, can I speak to you a minute? Come on back here. Let's talk. I know you've been having rough times, and I know you got fired last week and all that. I know, because, you know, we work in the same place. And you know what? Anything I can do to help you and the family, here's $100. No, take it. Take it. I won't. No, take it. Let me know if there's anything we can do for you. Things like that. Things like that is what makes the body of Christ strong. And we have a strong body like that. I've seen things like that happen here. Not watching over your shoulder and seeing you exactly do that sort of thing, but I've seen that type of heart modeled here. I'm not trying to say you're not doing it. I'm trying to say, can we do it better? Can we do it better and are we not just doing it in the body of Christ, but are we doing it in our lives outside of the body? That's the important thing. Because here, this is the holy huddle. This is the holy huddle. This is the place where we come to get recharged and re-energized. This is what church is supposed to be, the recharging and the energizing and the sending back out. Like Jesus did to the 12, sent them out to go do what he told them to do. That's what we're supposed to be here doing. We're supposed to be recharging, re-energizing, to be sent back out to go do during the week what the church is supposed to do. Minister to the world, not to the body. Sometimes you need to minister to the body, but a lot more often there's ministry in the world that needs to be done. You don't hear many times in the Gospels tell of Jesus ministering to the 12. You hear him telling stories and trying to teach them, but more of his ministry was dedicated to the world around them. Right? Right. Okay. Okay, character builds hope. The stronger our character, because of the fact that we have to rely on God more and rely on that faith that we have more and more, we strengthen our faith, we strengthen our character, and our hope in Christ becomes stronger than it ever was, because our faith is stronger. And the stronger our faith is, the stronger our hope is. It's harder to knock that hope out of sight. Things can come into our life and you say, hey, you know what? Yeah, but I still have this hope. And I can still count on Jesus. You know, things may come down on me in this world, but you know what? They're never going to take my Jesus away. Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. You know, friends may leave me, friends may forsake me, but Jesus will never do that. He's a friend that'll never do that. You know, jobs may come, jobs may go, but Jesus is here to stay. So, we move on. Hope doesn't disappoint. Jesus will never disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. All of this that I say to you is possible because of the gift that Jesus gave to us, the Holy Spirit, living and residing in every believer. That gives us that extra measure of faith when our faith goes, no. God wells up deep inside us and says, yes. Yes, you can. When our character says, you know, God says, yeah. And then when your hope gets to dwindling, the Holy Spirit says, you know what? Let me give you a little glimpse of it. Jeremiah 29 was letters written to the captives in Babylon. But my favorite verses, I guess, is more proper, are found in Jeremiah 29:11. And 12 and 13. It says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." It's all about perseverance. It's all about how that perseverance molds and shapes our character and builds it up and strengthens our hope. And that hope is found in the light of the world, Jesus.